This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Orange Bloods, welcome back to the Deep Dig podcast here on the Yak Austin. My name is Alex Dunlap, lead football analyst at orangebloods.com. This is a podcast about the personnel of the Texas Longhorns football team. Sorry I haven't been on in a while. I've been busy. Tried to get on here as much as I can to get these podcasts up, but life gets in the way, other business gets in the way. You have to prioritize things, and I knew this week when I didn't have any film work to do, it would be a good week to just catch up with you guys, the three or four of you who listen to the pod, and sort of let you know where we are as far as this Texas football team coming into the West Virginia game and off of the bye week after, you know, four pretty impressive games in a lot of ways for a lot of these players. I guess let's just start. I'm going to pull up the Deep Dig spreadsheets here, and we'll just look at it. So the skilled player participation, we'll go through, try and knock this thing out in less than a half an hour. Let's see if we can get that done. Sam Ellinger, Casey Thompson. Sam Ellinger's played 90.88% of snaps so far. Casey Thompson, 9.12% of snaps. Casey Thompson's only seen action versus Louisiana Tech, 13 snaps, and Rice, 14 snaps. Other than that, it's been all Sam Ellinger. And Sam Ellinger, like Jeff Ketchum has said, is having a season, as far as a passing quarterback, that rivals what Colt McCoy was able to do in, what was that, 2008? Just basically one of the best, you know, passing seasons from an efficiency standpoint that Texas has ever seen. Sam Ellinger's putting it up before our very eyes, and it's like a lot of fans don't realize it. I hope that once he does have a down game, as Ketchum has mentioned before, that fans realize that, you know, his down game and whatever this new normal is always being on his complete A-plus game. And if he's on his B-minus game or something like that, something still good enough to get Texas the win, I would hate to see fans, you know, point the finger at him. I know, you know, from being a student at the University of Texas and following this program closely ever since my graduation in the year 2003, you know, that the fans here can be very fickle. And, you know, Sam Ellinger's having a great year. The running backs, Keontae Ingram leads the way with 146 snaps on the season. Right behind him, Roshon Johnson at 130 snaps. And in this last game versus Oklahoma State, it was interesting. Roshon Johnson actually out-snapped Keontae Ingram 45-29, so 63.38% of snaps versus 40.85% of snaps. Roshon Johnson looks good, man. He doesn't look quite as good as Keontae Ingram, but there are ways that Roshon Johnson wins that Keontae Ingram doesn't win. Namely, he hits the hole much quicker and much faster with a bigger head of steam. Keontae Ingram is a player that's developed a little bit of nuance in his game, and he's really working on his patience and his vision and his timing and hitting these holes in the zone scheme. And I think that it's going to pan out for him in the long run. And I know that Coach Stan Drayton, that was something that, you know, he's talked about with these different broadcast crews that have come in to cover the Longhorns. You hear them on television saying that, you know, Roshon Johnson, they feel like he hits the hole too fast, that he is still kind of working his way into developing vision and things like that after, of course, transitioning from the quarterback position due to the injuries to Jordan Whittington, and for a while there, Daniel Young. Kirk Johnson still on the mend, and we hope to see him back soon. But, you know, Roshon, what I like best about Roshon is how he falls forward through contact. And, I mean, if you look at Roshon Johnson just as a receiver out of the backfield, he is every bit as good as Keontae Ingram. I mean, just with his body and his length and his size and the way he's tall. He's a quarterback. You watch his high school tape. Watch what he can do in the open field. He has a real-time understanding of these routes. He has a real-time understanding of how this offense operates from at least the eyes of a dude who's been here since the spring, playing the quarterback position. It's why he's good in pass pro. And I really think that Roshon Johnson could be a dangerous weapon, even now that Jordan Whittington, we're expecting him back fairly soon. He's only played 13 snaps this season versus Louisiana Tech, so only 4.39% of the team snaps. thus far. Daniel Young, he got his first snaps in versus Rice. He got 10 snaps versus those guys. No snaps versus Oklahoma State. That was only Keonta Ingram and Roshan Johnson. That's a two-man platoon until Jordan Whittington comes back. I do not think he'll be back versus West Virginia, but he should be a guy who, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty nice secret weapon to have coming into the OU weekend. We'll have to wait and see what's going on with Kirk Johnson, and hopefully we finally get something out of him. But boy, that's been an uphill climb for that guy. Okay, well, let's get on to the wide receivers. Devin Duvernay leads the wide receiver crew, playing at a 70.95% clip this season, and at the H wide receiver, and basically working his way up to where he's looking like a possible day two pick in the NFL draft. I think that him going in the third round at this point would not be out of the question. Devin Duvernay wears fucking armor, man. Like, it's like Tom Herman said, man, that guy's fucking wears armor. He's so fast, and he's so twitchy, and he's so quick out of his breaks, but he's gotten this way about him to where he's like, he's thick and strong. And I have trouble really finding a comp to him at the NFL level that makes a lot of sense. The ones that I kind of think about are James Washington from Oklahoma State, Bruce Ellington out of South Carolina. Some of these players that are built more like these kind of satellite running back types that you get open in space out of the backfield and throw the football to. Chris Thompson out of Florida. This kind of player. Devin Duvernay is faster than any of those guys. He was the fastest man in the state in 2016 when he was coming in as a recruit. And, I mean, him and Brennan Eagles. Brennan Eagles, 186 snaps this season, 62.84% snap percentage. His per snap percentages have, you know, gone up and down. But what's most important is you look at the games versus LSU and the games versus OSU, the two big ones. And he's been at 81% snap percentage and 85% snap percentage. At this point in time, both of those guys have played a bunch more than Colin Johnson at the X. In fact, Malcolm Epps, Colin Johnson's backup at the X wide receiver spot, who's getting, you know, a 20 to 30% snap share, even when Colin Johnson is playing and available to play. Malcolm Epps has played more snaps than Colin Johnson. 150 snaps thus far for Malcolm Epps, 114 for Colin Johnson. And let's just talk about Colin Johnson. He is not having the kind of year that a lot of fans likely hoped for. Devin Duvernay and Brennan Eagles are the best wide receivers on this team. And Colin Johnson needed to have a season where he comes in and he shows that he can win in numerous different ways. The first of which being going up for contested catches, winning at the catch point, dominating with size and physicality and length, and being able to bring in these receptions versus Big 12 corners, and he just hasn't. He's been shrinking away from the football. He's been allowing footballs to come into his body while you know, DBs climb the ladder against him. He's been hurt, but during the first two games that he played, I mean, he played 50% of the snaps versus Louisiana Tech. He played 93% of the snaps versus LSU. And look, I understand versus LSU, those are good players, but I mean, come on. I mean, Colin's a good player. Colin Johnson has a lot to prove for the rest of this season. A lot to prove. And if we're getting him back versus West Virginia, that's a great start. Sir, you know, it's funny. People on Orange Bloods ask me, they said, well, who's going to replace Colin Johnson? I'm like, replace what? What does he do? Like, what does he do in this offense that you want replaced so badly? John Bird at the Z wide receiver position there behind Brennan Eagles has played 99 snaps this season. He's gotten in every single game, and it's funny. He starts a lot of these games, and, you know, he'll go in there for like two snaps, and then Eagles will be right in. And rightfully so. I'm glad that John Bird gets the kind of senior treatment there. Jake Smith at the H has only played 58 snaps, which is egregious. 21 snaps versus Louisiana Tech, 9 snaps versus LSU, 19 versus Rice, and 9 versus OSU. And all this kid does is he's tied for the team lead in touchdowns. What does it take to get more Jake Smith on the football field? And we're going to talk about this. All right, but let's just talk about. So Alvante Woodard, he's played at the X and the Z. He's played on 11% of snaps. Jordan Pounce, he's only played at the H. He's played in 7% of snaps. Marcus Washington, the true freshman, he has played in now one, two games on offense. Louisiana Tech and Rice, he's been playing at the X. And Kennedy Lewis has played in the at the Z. He got three snaps in versus Rice. Both those guys, true freshmen. But let's talk about these tight ends and how often they're split out wide. And the fact that Devin Duvernay and Jake Smith can't get on the field at the same time, despite the fact that they're both uber-efficient players at that H position, simply because Tom Herman, Tim Beck, and this offensive staff won't take tight ends off the – like, they won't take these tight ends off the field. And, look, I agree that Cade Brewer's good. He's a good player, right? Like, he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a good pro. I'm not saying just a good player at Texas. I think Cade Brewer is going to be a good pro. He's an excellent blocker in space. He has fantastic hands. He's a hell of a locker room guy. I love Cade Brewer. But when you look at the tight end usage, Cade Brewer has played 186 snaps this season. He's been in line for 18 of them, so only 9.68% of his snaps has he been in line. He's been split out as a wide receiver for 80 snaps, so 43% of his snaps. And he's played at H-back, so like a sniffer, a sort of offset, sort of wingback player, or a player that looks like a fullback, basically 47.31% of the time. So he's been split out at 43%, and he's been at H-back 47%. They don't ever throw the ball to Cade Brewer. All Jake Smith does is catch a touchdown pass once every, what is 58 divided by 4? Is that, so is that like 50, I mean, just under four, every 14 point something snaps? Every 14.25 snaps, is that 14.2, no, 14.5 snaps? Because 14 times 4 is 56 times, and then 4 times 0.5 is 50. Yeah, every 14.5 snaps? Jake Smith has scored a touchdown every 14.5 snaps? Get the fucking guy, get him on the field. Like, get him on the field more. I understand that he doesn't understand as many route concepts, that he's still trying to figure out what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe the staff has just only been putting him on the field in high leverage spots, and I give him credit for that. But God, I mean, when a guy just keeps showing you and showing you and showing you, like, God damn it, I'm a weapon. I'm the high school Gatorade National Player of the Year. I am a weapon. Every time I get on the football field, every 14 snaps, I'm catching a touchdown. I'm leading I have the team co-lead in touchdowns. With Devin Duvernay, who's played 210 snaps. Brendan Eagles, who's played 186 snaps. Are you telling me on an offense where there's no problems bringing in substitutions? They're substituting guys all the time in this deal. They're bringing in as far as the tight ends, Cade Brewer's been in the catbird seat, but Reese Leto's played 70 snaps. He's played in every single game. He's coming in and out all the time. His usage has been different than Cade Brewer's because he's been at H-back 73% of the time and split out only 17% of the time. So maybe why not at least on plays whenever Reese Leto, who you don't even want split out clearly by the usage because you have the usage for Cade Brewer at 43% of his snaps split out, 47% of his snaps at H-back. You have Reese Leto, 17% of his snaps split out, 73% at H-back. They clearly like him better at H-back as a blocker. So why not maybe whenever he's split out wide, just run a substitution, just like the substitution that you ran to put him in instead of Cade Brewer, to put in Jake Smith at the slot wide receiver position that Reese Leto would be in. At least that would bump up his snap percentage some. I understand not taking Cade Brewer off the field, but why not take Reese Leto off the field when it's clear that you, by the usage, that you don't want him on the field split out anyway. The most efficient player on your team is on the sidelines. Rounding out these tight ends, Jared Wiley, he's played 26 snaps this season. He's been at H-back for 58% of these snaps. He's been at split out wide at 35% of these snaps. He's been in line at about 7% of these snaps. Braden Leibrock, he got in 7 snaps versus Rice. He was split out for 3 of them. He was at H-back for 4 of them. Moving on, let's go to the offensive line and just look at the offensive line grades. I don't really need to go over this too much. This is the best offensive line that Texas has seen since I've been here. If you just want to look at it from a historical perspective, let's see if I can pull this up and just hear for you on the fly. But it, as far as like the average grades, these guys are grading out at the area that I've always dreamed on the deep dig scale. If the whole offensive line grades out with like grades of like honestly 77 plus or so, they're going to dominate in every facet of the game and allow the play caller. My theory always was, my working theory always was, you know, through this system. And look, listen back to the old fucking podcasts if you want to hear of this system. I'm not going to explain it here. I don't have time. But the theory always was, if we can get five players on an offensive line to play at like a 77, a 78 on the scale, that offensive line is going to dominate. And if that offensive play caller can't get shit done with that offensive line, then they're not worth their salt. Not to even mention the fact that there's a great quarterback Texas has right now. So this is uncharted territory for the deep dig, an experienced quarterback, a great offensive line. I would really like to pull this up so I can just kind of show you versus history how these guys sort of fall into place with the with their snaps per disruption allowed, with their deep dig grades, and when you take those two things and put them together, how it's sort of how everything looks from a overall perspective. And I'm just, here it is. Okay, so what we have here, we have that's not it. Shit, it's probably right close to where that one was. This is great radio, I understand. Maybe one of our producers can clip this and cut it for me. I don't give a shit. If you're mad about this, you can take a long walk off a short fucking plank. Get the hell out of here. I'm doing this podcast for you guys to bring you the information. And I want to bring you the correct information. So let's see. That was not the right one. I'm looking for the spreadsheet that I had where I compared all these guys versus historically the different grades that we've seen from the offensive line and from the snaps per disruption allowed perspective. So I'm just going to take a deep breath. See, where could this possibly be? Could it be somewhere inside this sheet where maybe there's a new one? Yes, here it is. All right, so if you look at, let's just look at these guys. Okay, so let's talk about the Junior Angelou, I guess, sophomore, 280 snaps graded. He is rated at the best snaps per disruption allowed number that we have seen during the entire time we've been doing the deep dig. He's not grading as high as some of the others, but the snaps per disruption allowed is fantastic. He has an average deep dig grade of a 78.47, a median grade of a 78.33. Both of those are, I mean, that's Connor Williams freshman year kind of stuff. Just unbelievable. As far as his disruption allowed, he's played 280 snaps. He's allowed one sack, one hit, one pressure, one TFL, no penalties. Denzel Okafor has played 59 snaps this season, by the way, over there at the right tackle. He's only allowed one penalty and no disruption. That's something to keep in mind. Because here's the thing with Denzel Okafor over there at the right tackle. Whenever Derek Kerstetter next year, when Shaq goes away, when Derek Kerstetter moves down there into center, we're gonna have Okafor move up into that right tackle spot, and it's been great news that he's been able to sort of play like this and be good in the spots where now, you know, that guy's basically a backup. Texas is six deep on the offensive line right now, and things are looking absolutely fantastic. Derek Kerstetter right now as a junior has been grading on 280 snaps. Both he and Samuel Cosmi are allowing snaps per disruption numbers at 46.7 So once every 46.7 plays, they're either allowing a quarterback sack, quarterback hit, a quarterback pressure, a run stuff, a tackle for a loss, or they're committing a penalty. Every 46.7 snaps. To put that in perspective, Junior Angelau right now is at 70. That's unsustainable. That's going to come down. But as far as Trey Hopkins on 885 snaps his senior year, allowed disruption once every 57.1 snaps. Trey Hopkins, if you haven't looked recently, he'll be actually at home this week to play the Arizona Cardinals, as a starting offensive guard in the National Football League. 57.1 snaps as a senior. Connor Williams is a sophomore on 911 snaps graded. 56.9 was his snaps per disruption allowed. So Kerstetter and Cosme are both at 46.7. Junior Angelau is at 70. We move down to the next guy down, Parker Braun, 280 snaps graded. Parker Braun, the mauler, the second best offensive lineman that Texas has right now, once every 40 snaps. And then Zach Shackelford, the best of his career at the center position, once every 39.5 snaps. Now, I've not included Denzel Okafor in this sample because this was only of players who have had at least 100 snaps graded by the deep dig. But so Junior Angelau would be in first place for snaps per disruption allowed. Derek Kerstetter and Samuel Cosme will be tied for fourth place. This is dating back to the year 2013. Parker Braun would be in ninth place, and Zach Shackelford would be in 11th place. Under Zach Shackelford in 11th place, we have guys like Samuel Cosme as a redshirt freshman, Connor Williams as a junior, Patrick Vahe in his sophomore and his junior seasons at 31.8 snaps per disruption allowed. If we go all the way down here, we look at like Tristan Nicholson in 48th place and Cameron Hughes in 47th place. We're looking at 12.9 snaps per disruption allowed. 12.9 on 450 snaps. Kennedy Estelle is a sophomore. 755 snaps. Every 17.2 snaps, he allowed disruption and or committed a penalty. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what to tell you. This offensive line is fantastic. This offensive line is fantastic. And they'll continue to be even through one injury, because one injury will be fine. Two injuries to these guys, and we're in trouble, because that means Tope Amadi's got to come in. And I'm not sure he's any good. All right, so that clears up the offense. Let's just do the defense really quickly here, because like I said, I wanted to keep this under 30 minutes. What do you guys want to do? You want to go like kind of by position groups? Start from the back, go to the front. Start from the front, go to the back. Let's start from the back, go to the front. So we have in the secondary, this thing's been a trial by fire for all of the young Texas corners, and the Texas staff, his defensive staff, has been very, very, very stuck to their guns on Kobe Boyce, at least to start the season, who's been miserable. Kobe Boyce has been clearly targeted in angles that you can definitely identify from the broadcast feed of these games 7 times. He has been burned and allowed completions on 5 of those. So every completion that Kobe Boyce has allowed has been something that we have deemed as a coverage burn. I will say this, that in the last game, and I believe that was versus OSU, let me look at the OSU disruption numbers and sort by position and look at Kobe Boyce. So he had one pass breakup versus OSU. I believe he might have had one versus Rice. Oh, he did, right? Because I think it was Rice where he dropped the interception where he should have had the touchdown. Yeah. So in the last two games, he's at least generated PBUs, right? Pass breakups. But if you look over the course of the entire season, and let's just sort these completion percentages by so basically, here's what we have. As far as the cornerbacks, Kobe Boyce has a 71% completion percentage when clearly targeted this season. On 7 targets, he's allowed 5 burns. He's had 2 pass breakups. Donovan Duvernay should not be playing. Both of these guys have negative production on the season via the deep dig scale. Donovan Duvernay, when clearly targeted, has a 67% completion percentage, 16 snaps per burn, which is even worse than Kobe Boyce's 23 snaps per burn. Let's see. Jalen Green, who's hurt right now, who is beginning to come on a little bit, has a 63% completion percentage when clearly targeted, but only 93.5 snaps per burn versus 23 and 16 each for Kobe Boyce and Donovan Duvernay. Anthony Cook, who it looks like he and Deshaun Jameson will be the starters moving forward, at least until Jalen Green and Josh Thompson both get back. Anthony Cook, 91 snaps on the season. Let's see, allowing a 50% completion percentage when clearly targeted, 91 snaps per burn. So, and he's also tied for the team lead in pass breakups with 3. So Anthony Cook and Deshaun Jameson, who is allowed a 25% completion percentage when clearly targeted and has not allowed one single coverage burn. Also, one of the team's more pure tacklers, 102 snaps per missed tackle, which is better than Brandon Jones, better than Anthony Cook at 91, surely better than Jalen Green at 37.1, better than Caden Stearns, who's hurt right now, at 41, better than Kobe Boyce at 57.5. Probably the only more sure tackler as far as missed tackles in the whole defensive backfield besides Deshaun Jameson is Josh Thompson was a more sure tackler, even though he's not as good in coverage. He's only had one missed tackle all season on 132 snaps. And then also Chris Brown, the safety slash joker slash cowboy slash just, you know, when these guys go eight DBs or however many DBs they go, Chris Brown is always always one of the key cogs in that. And Chris Brown is probably, has he played more snaps than anyone this season? No. So Brandon Jones has played the most snaps. Chris Brown's played the second most snaps. Brandon Jones, 252. Chris Brown, 249. Chris Brown's a huge part of this defense and one of the key players on this defense. Behind Joseph Osai, he's probably the best player from a production standpoint on this defense. And let's just get into that. Joseph Osai at the B-backer spot. It's funny what we've seen from him is that the Texas staff has elected to basically make him an inside linebacker that plays B-backer only whenever Texas goes to a 3-linebacker front, which is very, very, very rare. So Joseph Osai, Chris Brown, Brandon Jones, Caden Stearns, Jeffrey McCulloch have been the top 5 players on this Texas defense thus far this season. It's okay to say that because Chris Brown, Brandon Jones, you know, Jones has been sort of more of a nickel sort of role lately. He's played nickel. He's played safety. He's played that cowboy role where he comes down. He plays linebacker at times. Chris Brown does a lot of the same. He can play. I mean, they can draw back 3 safeties. They can bring him up off the edge. They can have him play center field. They can line him up on slot wide receivers. They play Chris Brown all over the place. He's been really good. 9.46% of the defensive production goes to him on 249 snaps. 9.27% is going to Brandon Jones on only 252 snaps. But Joseph Osai, 10.86% of the defensive production this year on just 221 snaps. His 6.31 snaps per production caused is one of the best on the entire team. In fact, whenever we look at this, the snaps per production caused of players that have played a decent enough sample size. So you have Marcus Tillman, who's played like 12 snaps, who's done well in his limited snaps. DeMarvion Overjones played 24 snaps. Kenyatta Watson, Byron Vaughns, Chris Adamora, all these guys. I mean, Kenyatta Watson's played 6 snaps on defense. Byron Vaughns has played 6 snaps on defense. Chris Adamora's played 38. The first reasonable, and those guys have been like 4 snaps per production cost, 4.7, 4.92, 6.0, 6.13. The first time we get to somebody that's played a decent number of snaps, 221 on the season, is Joseph Osai. He's played, he's generated production once every 6.31 snaps. It's a hell of a player, guys. Hell of a player. I mean, Jeffrey McCulloch has been about like, I mean, he's been better than Anthony Wheeler last year. Not quite as good at that rover position as maybe a Gary Johnson, but definitely has attributes that Gary Johnson did not have. He'll probably at least be drafted. snaps per production caused at 8.49, which is good for only like 19th best on the team. But if you just look at guys, so if you look at, so let's say we have Joseph Osai, who's in first place in snaps per production on over 100 snaps. I'm just doing this manually right now. B.J. Foster would be in second place at 7.15. He's played 107 snaps this season, generating production once every 7.15 snaps. Let's just let this bleed into linebackers and defensive line and get out of here. Keandre Coburn, a guy who we'll need to talk about, who's just absolutely come on these last couple of weeks in the run stuff department and the tackle for loss department and the quarterback hits department, generating production once every 7.7 snaps. Hopefully he continues to come on. Let's throw Montrell Estell in here. Even though he's not quite at 100 snaps, he's at 97. It feels stupid to keep him out. And he's a guy at safety that Texas is going to be depending on now with Caden Stearns out. Which is why I was saying, Texas, despite the issues in the secondary with Josh Thompson being out, with Jalen Green being out, and with Caden Stearns being out, Texas can backfill these spots. Even if we have to go to 8 DBs, if you're the coaching staff, you say, even if we have to go to 8 DBs, we can still go there. Because we have Montrell Estell. We have B.J. Foster coming back, it looks like. We have, as I go down this list, Juwan Mitchell, who's played 92 snaps. Let's put him in this group. Production caused once every 7.67 snaps. We have Chris Brown, 249 snaps on the season. Production caused once every 8.16 snaps. You have Caden Stearns, who's out, but production caused once every 8.24 snaps. Brandon Jones, once every 8.43 snaps. And then this is when you finally get down to the Jeffrey McCulloch's of the world, the Taquan Grahams of the world, these types of players, once every 8.49 snaps, every 8.64 snaps, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so if we look back, and let's just say, let me look at Deep Dig 2018, and just come on now. Deep Dog, Deep Dig 2018. And whenever we do that, we can see, let's just look at the snaps per production here for some of the top players on this team that played at least 100 snaps. So Gary Johnson last year was tops on this team at 7.74. Charles Omenihu was at 8.14. Chris Nelson was at 8.61. You're telling me that this group here, Taquan Graham is at 8.64. Taquan Graham is playing it like a Chris Nelson level from last season after one breakout game versus Rice and then a really good game versus Oklahoma State. And so if you're telling me that these levels can keep up along the defensive line, if these levels can keep up among the linebackers where these guys are looking at what did I say about Joseph Osai earlier? Once every 6.31 snaps. There was nobody last year that was below 6.13 snaps except guess who? Joseph Osai, that only played 61 snaps last season at 5.81 snaps per production caused. And if you're telling me that this deep dig stuff and this charting is not predictive, I don't know what else to tell you.